You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here is your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Monday, August 25th, episode 3761, brought to you today by Worm Flooring. Good morning, horse people.
Well, I hope I can ask forgiveness from everybody today. I got a cough over the weekend, and I'm pretty much basically losing my voice. I thought about having Ashley fill in today, but there's an interview I want to do today, so I'm here. You're just going to have to put up with my weak-sounding voice for today, and I'll do the best I can.
The show must go on, but before we start it, we have to talk about the sad news over the weekend. We lost jockey Ron Turcott. He passed away on Friday at 84. You know, I haven't spoken with my friend Jocelyn Russell, but she got to know Ron very well, making the secretary at Monument, and it's just truly a loss. We got a little bit more about him here. So
things I didn't know.
Yeah. So he was born in Grand Falls in 1941 and age 14 left school to help his father cut lumber. I mean, you're like in Northern Canada, right? Second oldest of 12 children. And his responsibility was taking care of the family mare Bess, which by the way is the name of the mare and the man from Snowy River. So whatever, it's fine. So it's the Bess who would drag the logs
How
through
did
the
I know
bush.
Snowy River was going to get into this conversation.
Well, that's
somehow
pretty much what Bess did in Australia. At 18, he headed to Toronto to work as a roofer, but construction, fortunately, at that time got halted because of a strike. So he was watching TV in a rooming house, and it was the Kentucky Derby, and he got this idea. And so the following day, he went to Woodbine Racetrack and went to the like gates and was like, I want a job. And eventually was allowed into the backstretch where he met Joe Thomas, who was the vice president of Winfield's Farm. And the career began mucking, walking, rubbing horses, and then finally galloping for Pete McCann in 1960. And then he won his first race in 1962 at Fort Erie Racetrack in Canada. Check this out. Okay. He had 20,281 mounts, different horses, 3,032 wins. The career earnings, I'm sure a lot thanks to Secretariat, but $28 million, almost $29
million. And in today's money, that would probably be $50 million because that was a long time ago.
Oh, yeah. Suck it, Mike Smith. A career spanned 18 years. He won the Triple Crown in 73 with Secretariat. He won the Derby twice in 72 with River Ridge, Secretariat 73. He won the Preakness twice. And he also won the Belmont twice, also with River Ridge. And he rode Secretariat to 15 wins out of 18 starts. And his, of course, we're going to hear it in a second, but the Secretariat in the 73 Belmont Stakes, it's the record, 31 links. So we have to play it, Glenn. We have to play it.
All right, let's play it.
To go for this tremendous Belmont Stakes. Everybody's in line and they're off. Looks like the early lead goes to My Gallant. Yes, My Gallant going for the lead with Price and Prince on the outside. Secretariat away very well, has good position on the rail, and in fact is now going up with the leader. They're moving for the first turn. It is Secretariat. Sham on the outside is also moving along strongly. And now it's Sham. Sham and Secretariat are right together into the first turn. My Gallant has third behind them. Then it's Twice a Prince, and the trailer is Private Smiles as they go by the turn. Those two together, Sham on the outside. Sham getting ahead in front as they move around the turn with Secretariat second. Then there's a large gap. Make it eight lengths back to My Gallant in third and Twice a Prince fourth. And Private Smiles is still a trailer. They're on the backstretch. It's almost a match race now. Secretariat's on the inside by a head. Sham is on the outside. They've opened 10 lengths on My Gallant, who is third by a head, with Twice a Prince fourth. Then it's another eight lengths back to Private Smiles, who is trailing the field. They continue down the backstretch, and that Secretariat now taking the lead. He's got it by about a length and a half. Still Sham, 10 lengths back. My Gallant, twice a prince. They're moving on the turn now. For the turn at Secretariat. It looks like he's opening. The lead is increasing. Make it three and a half. He's moving into the turn. Secretariat holding on to a large lead. Sham is second, and then it's a long way back to My Gallant and twice a prince. They're on the turn. It's Secretariat is blazing along. The first three quarters of a mile in 109 and 4/5. Secretariat is widening now. He is moving like a tremendous machine. Secretariat by 12. Secretariat by 14 lengths on the turn. Sham is dropping back. It looks like they'll catch him today as My Gallant and Twice a Prince are both coming up to him now. But Secretariat is all alone. He's out there almost a 16th of a mile away from the rest of the horses. Secretariat is in a position that seems impossible to catch. He's into the stretch. Secretariat leads his field by 18 lengths. And now Twice a Prince has taken second, and My Gallant has moved back to third. They're in the stretch. Secretariat has opened a 22-length lead. He is going to be the Triple Crown winner. Here comes Secretariat to the wire. An unbelievable, an amazing performance. He hits the finish 25 lengths in front. It's going to be Twice a Prince second, My Gallant third.
I mean, it ended up being 31 lengths. Oh, I can't. I have goosebumps on my face. Oh, God, I can't listen to that.
These announcers are amazing. When you do the announcing on a race like that, he's guessing the number of lengths. You know,
yeah.
I don't know how he does that because it's very hard to tell. I don't know. But what a race.
Oh, my gosh, I have goosies. Okay. All right, tell us what's on today's show.
Well, before we do that, this I found this fascinating. Did you know that Ron Turcotte almost had two Triple Crown winners in a row? In 1972, he rode River Ridge, and he won the Kentucky Derby on River Ridge. And then he did win... he did win the Belmont on River Ridge. Unfortunately, Pimlico was sloppy during a rainstorm, and this horse was not known for performing well on wet tracks, and finished fourth. If it hadn't been for the rainstorm, he might have ridden two Triple Crown winners in a row.
Well, there's always a shoulda, coulda, woulda, and River Ridge was an amazing horse, but like, whew, man.
Yeah. Well, rest in peace, Ron.
Yeah.
Rest in peace. Well, today we're going to meet one of the hosts of the brand new show on the Horse Radio Network called The Horse Healthcast by Smart Equine, and we learn about her job as head of research and development at Smart Equine as well. Plus, what happened to Butters over the weekend? I don't even know, but I know something happened, and we're going to hear about it. We're probably not going to have a post-show today just because of my voice. I'm going to be lucky I get through the main show. But before we get to Daily Winnies, I wanted to mention somebody else that passed away over the weekend, and this is nothing to do with horses, but is somebody that I've enjoyed, and it really hit me when I saw he passed away. I don't know if you've heard of him, but he was probably the nicest, most compassionate judge in America. He presided over traffic court in Providence, Rhode Island, and he gained millions of followers on a show called Caught in Providence. His name was Frank Caprio. Have you ever seen him or any of his clips on social media?
Oh my gosh, I just Googled him. I love him.
Well, his clips have gotten tens and hundreds of millions of views. The TV show was popular too, but I think he became really popular on his clips. He lost a 2-year battle with pancreatic cancer. He was just the most kind, compassionate person in the world. And, you know, what amazed me is on the Facebook post on his page announcing his death, there were 200,000 comments. And
wow.
I didn't see a negative one. I see.
Yeah, he's the guy who would listen to people's story and he'd be like, oh, well, I mean, how can we help you as opposed to how can I punish you? And that was kind of the way that I thought he approached things.
And he had one guy come into his court who had run a red light, I think. And he was 93 years old. And he showed, and he had run the red light. They can't video of it. But he got to know the guy, and he actually became friends with him, went out to his house, visited him with him. They cooked together in his 90s. And that guy just passed away shortly before he did. But he was just that kind of guy, you know. And his son seems to be the same way. So his son has taken over his Facebook page, and his son, you know, is cooking his best meals. It's just a cool story all the way around. So rest in peace to Judge Frank as well. cool dude. All right, let's get to some daily winnies today. I promise happier news the rest of the show. We don't have any birthdays today. So to all of you that posted and emailed about Friday's show, Jamie, we had more reaction to that episode on Friday than we've had to any other episode we've done in 15 years.
Okay. And I'm desperately dying to hear, because I said you had The Weeknd.
Yes. Well, this is the scoop. It was Princess Bride. You brought up Princess Bride, and apparently that struck a fire.
Because here's the thing. We have called my assistant for the last 4 years Farm Boy in honor of this movie, and you let it slip.
He was a farm boy, so you called him Farm Boy.
You let it slip on Friday that you've never even seen. Because I was like, oh, new farm girl. Somebody said we should call her Buttercup. And you're like, what? You've never seen The Princess Bride.
Apparently, I'm not the only one. I don't know if you noticed how many other of our auditors.
There's like three other
people.
Now,
there's like 10 or 20, actually. There were so many posts about this. It was crazy. And I got emails about it. So here's the scoop. I'm going to do my review on Friday. I was a little sick over the weekend. So I'm going to do my review on Friday. And I know there were many other auditors who've not seen it yet. So you also have to watch it before Friday and message me with your thoughts. Okay? So I can include those. I'm actually
Don't message him. Don't give him any ideas. I want you to watch it. And for the first time, I want you to eat a little crow. I can't believe I never saw this before. Because I know you. You're going to be like, oh, it was so this and that. And you're just going
to
be
That's
like.
That's why I want another auditor come on with me to review it together, but somebody who also has not seen it yet. So that way I have backup, or not, one or the other. Also, a brand new monthly episode starts tomorrow. So look for that on Friday. If you're waiting for my review, I know a bunch of you said I have to do it, so I'm going to do it.
Don't tell him, for those of you that are signing up, do not tell him what your review is, because he'll just pick you if you don't like it. And I'm not going to stand for that.
There's a brand new Tuesday episode starting tomorrow. It focuses on the writer. We met Solange at Equine Affair, and Ashley said, why don't we get her on to do an episode every month that focuses on the writer? We've never done that before. And she kindly said yes. She's terrific, by the way. I recorded the first one. She's great. Jamie, she has 5 equisizers. She's good friends with Frankie Lovato. She probably has more equisizers than anybody else in the country. But that's what she uses as the fundamental, as the starting, when she starts with her riders to teach them the proper seat, you know, seat and all that stuff. She uses equisizers. So each episode includes a rider tip and some lessons to try at home. It's called Stable Riding with Solange. And she's going to be with us on the fourth Tuesday of every month. So you can look for her first episode tomorrow. She's just great. I love her. It was like she had done 1,000 episodes. You know, a lot of times when you do your first podcast, you're not very good. She was fine. So you're going to hear her tomorrow on the show, and look for that new segment every month. I don't know that we've ever done anything on riders, you know, focusing on riders. We talk a lot about training horses. So I'm excited about that one. All right, your turn.
I mean, I don't really know who to give this Daily Winnie out to. I'm just going to tell you the story and you can decide who the hero and who the goat is, okay? So my family has decided, you know, after the whole not being able to keep the dog that we adopted from the animal shelter because it was aggressive to Homer, we've like kind of set out like, okay, next spring we're going to get a puppy. And they've decided that they want a silver lab puppy.
I thought you just got a new puppy.
No.
Okay, you didn't get it. No. Okay.
We've had Winx for about a year and a half, and you know, Danny's 12, we want to get Lucas a dog. And okay. So they decided they want to get a silver lab. And I'm like, I don't even know what that is. I know. So I start Googling silver lab. Well, in that silver lab Googling, of course, your algorithm then finds you 9 billion silver lab breeders or rescues or whatever to message about getting a silver lab. And I find this page called Labrador Retriever Puppies for Adoption. And I'm like, first of all, that's crap, because Labrador Retriever puppies aren't for adoption.
No, they're for sale for about $5,000 each.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, well, maybe this is one of those, like, we can't really post that there are animals for sale on Facebook. So I message a couple breeders just trying to, like, get a feel. I'm like, I don't need anything till spring, but I'm just interested in learning more about the breed. You know, I'm a nerd about research and crap. So I messaged this organization called Labrador Retriever Puppies for Adoption, which it's come to my attention that that sounds like a scam. Like immediately. So I messaged them and I'm like, hi, we're looking to get a silver lab puppy to join our family. We're in no hurry. If you could point us in the right direction, that'd be great. We live on a 20-acre farm in Oklahoma. They write back out, thank you so much for reaching out and your interest in adding a Labrador puppy. A 20-acre farm sounds like the perfect place for it to grow and play and thrive. Are you interested in a male or a female? And I said, well, we're open to either. I'm not really in a hurry. I would love to hear your thoughts. We want a dog to bond with my 12-year-old son. And they said, well, you know, and they go through the pluses and minuses of the, this is crazy, Glenn. The pluses and minuses of like the different sex versus bonding versus playful and nature. And they were like, we really would like for you to come and meet the dogs to see if we can match you up to the right personality. And I'm like, cool. Like, that sounds great. Where are you located? Now, at this point, every dog I've seen that's a silver lab is in Pennsylvania, New York, New Jersey, or like in or Minnesota. And they're like, we're in Wichita, Kansas. And I'm like, oh my God, I could drive out there and see these puppies. It's only like 3 hours away. Cool. I said, how old are the, and they said, well, you know, we currently have 3 silver puppies available right now, 1 female and 2 males. And if you're leaning towards the male, we can reserve one. And when school is over, you can come and pick it up. I'm like, how old is it? They're like, 7 weeks. I'm like, so you're just going to hold the puppy until May? Like, no, I'll wait, you know, but they said, I said, send me some pictures. So they sent me some pictures and they're really adorable little silver lab puppies.
They got right and, off of Google.
And I wrote, wow, thanks so much. I mean, obviously if the perfect one's available, we're going to drive out there. They said, but we deliver. And I was like, how much extra is delivery? No extra charge. And they sent me pictures of a puppy named Tommy and a puppy named Max, both 7 weeks old. And I said, oh, they're so cute. What is the fee? $900. And we deliver. Well, how much extra for delivery? No extra. And then I started asking like specific questions on the coat pattern versus like health risk and are they health tested? And they give me this long answer about all the health testing they've done and how the coat pattern. And I'm like, this sounds like AI. Like, I feel like I'm reading this description of AI. Yes, all of our puppies undergo a comprehensive health testing to ensure. And I was like, cool. Can you send me the report? Which puppy do you want? And like of the two, Tommy and Max, which one do you want? Tommy or Max? And I'm like, well, I'm not. I thought you were going to. And this is when it starts to come off the rail. Like, I thought you were going to match the puppy to my son's personality and the life. Oh, yes, we will definitely do that. But which one do you want us to hold for you? Like, but if you're holding one, then I'm not meeting a whole bunch of them. And then they start going through like all of these different tests that they've run in. And I was like, listen, because now I'm not stupid. Can I get your phone number to call you tomorrow? Sure. I just asked your choice among the puppies.
And the deposit of $500.
Yeah. And I said, I thought choice would be based on personality. And at this point, it's hit me because there's actually like at this point, the English is devolving.
Oh, like the AI is getting worse.
Yeah. Well, like it's like this guy, somebody, whoever it is on the other end decided they were going to start filling it in and they don't speak English as a first language. And I said, they said, yes. I said, I'm assuming you want a deposit. Of course they do. Yes, a deposit is necessary to reserve a puppy. This ensures that the puppy you've chosen is held specifically for your family until you're ready delivery.
Oh, there you go.
I said, well, then I'm going to need copies of these health papers.
It's that kind of English that foreigners do mess up. They get those words backwards.
Yeah. And it started to get more and more aggressive. You know, like,
Where's my $500?
which puppy? And then I said, well, I'm going to need copies of the health papers and also a phone number so we can chat tomorrow. Well, it started to make him mad. To reserve Tommy, we do require a few details from you. Your full name, home address, phone number, and email. And once we have this information, we can officially hold the puppy for your family. Mm.
They didn't ask your social security number, your driver's license number?
Well, not yet. And I was like, I'm going to need your phone number and your address. And then they gave me a phone number. And then they gave me an address. So, of course, reverse image, Google search these photos. Yep, there's somebody else's puppies. And then Chad and I, we mapped this home in Wichita, Kansas, which is on the market.
They just picked the house for sale.
Like this tiny, Chad was like, I'm pretty sure nobody's raising puppies in this single wide.
Plus, you are not going to get one of these for $900.
No. And I said, oh, this is so wonderful. Thank you for this information. I always have to make sure I'm not chatting with a scammer. I'll call you tomorrow. And they gave me the thumbs up. And yeah, I haven't called. I'm not giving them a phone number. That is crazy. But like, it was so real. So my point is, remember we were talking to your friend about the birds and there's so many scammers. They're getting so good. So good. So unless you're buying an animal from a trusted friend or somebody who has seen, like, we've had auditors that are interested in horses all over the country. And I mean, I had somebody go look at a horse in Montana for me back when I lived in Arizona, you know, so like there's always ways to reach out and the puppies, I'm sorry, I'm not sending money online for a puppy I've never seen, that somebody I've never spoken to, but apparently it happens all the time or these people wouldn't have jobs. So this, I wanted to take this Daily Winnie and make it into a warning for everybody.
This is our PSA for today. Remember, radio stations used to have to do a PSA every week?
Yes, this is our weekly PSA. You guys, it's, and it was, I mean, I was on the hook for like an hour before I was like, wait, they just misspelled that word. And then they left out a conjunction and then they didn't have a preposition in the right. Yeah. You know, it's like, it's so minute. It was so minute.
And they're probably in India or somewhere over there.
I just can't believe it. I told Ginger, I was like, yeah, I was looking, reading on this puppy. It was called, you know, Labrador Retriever puppies for adoption. She was like, that sounds like a scam. And I was like, where the hell were you at 9 o'clock last night after I had a glass of wine and I'm messaging people about puppies? But
speaking of scams, you helped me out last week. And I'm allowed to say this. Dr. Madison Siemens was hacked. So if you saw his Facebook page, he started posting a lot about cryptocurrency. He was getting into cryptocurrencies, making a fortune and all this stuff. And then he did message me. He quote unquote messaged me about cryptocurrency. And I dabble in it a little. And it's Dr. Siemens. So I thought, well, I'll talk to him about it. And I said, well, let's talk next week. And then it got the same way. Well, no, let's talk today. We can talk today. I can call you right now. Let's talk today. And I was like, that's not Madison. You know, he knows me well enough to know that if I say next week, it's next week. And then you found out last week and he called me after and said he everything was hacked.
Yeah, he lost his whole, he can't post anything. He can't even make a new Facebook page. It's this whole long drawn out process, but he's actually had friends lose money.
That's why I'm saying it on the air.
Thought it was him.
I think the Facebook page is gone. I looked for it and I couldn't find it. So I think they've taken it down now, but he can't get it back. And he was very active on Facebook groups.
Yeah, I ended up, because he's very active on Horse Vet Corner, which is where you submit a question and vets answer it. And he was very active on that page. So I did, on his behalf, message them. But yeah, it was crazy. Like, he's been through the ringer. So just know that if somebody all of a sudden starts doing something out of character, like
Bitcoin?
It's not them.
Like Bitcoin? I mean, every post was about Bitcoin. And I was like, well, that's weird. But then, you know, I know he's getting older. He's probably looking for something else to do. And I was rationalizing because it was Dr. Madison. I did the same. You know, I fell for it. I didn't in the end because I backed off when he started getting pushy and then I didn't respond. But they somehow got my phone number and were texting me in his name. That phone number I gave you then was a fake phone number.
Yes, I called that number
because
you gave me that number.
Well, I thought it was legit and Dr. Madison had gone off the rails.
Well, it got to the voicemail and it was one of those like automated voicemail messages, not him. And I, so I hung up and then I got a text. Hey, sorry, Mr. Call. What's up? And I'm like, oh my God. I mean, it's so deep, you guys. Scams are so deep. Please be careful.
Be careful. It's crazy. Anyway, let's talk about Worm and then get to our first guest. But I did want to say that some of you saw a post of Jamie's over the weekend about Butters making a little trip to the, was it a trip to the vet?
Yes.
Well, we're going to talk about that later. I got to know what happened.
Well, let's face it, traditional floors and trailers, barns and workshops, they take a beating, they crack, they leak, they collect dust like nobody's business. To be fair, they also get very slick. They never last. Introducing a revolutionary solution, Worm Flooring. It's a sealed system that's easy to clean and maintain. No more backbreaking, scrubbing. It's slip resistant, keeping you safe and sound. Unlike other options, Worm Flooring is built to last. Liquids, no problem. Worm Flooring protects your floor and keeps it looking beautiful for years to come. I mean, protects your floor, yeah, but like it is the floor. It's such a nice floor. Don't settle for a floor that's constant hassle. Invest in Worm Flooring today. Visit Worm Flooring, WERMflooring.com to learn more and transform your space. You guys, not paid. I had this done in my barn and it's potentially the greatest money I've ever spent. I love it so much. To actually, like on the outside of my barn now, it goes like from the Worm Flooring down to the concrete. And I'm like, I need that Worm too. Like, cause they step down off the Worm Flooring and they're like, whoa, what is this? I'm like, oh, this is terrible. So anyway, Worm Flooring, it stands for We Eliminate Rubber Mats, cause I was not going to move around rubber mats. It's the lasting solution for a beautiful floor for your barn, trailer, and more. Bonus, you don't sweep it. You just blow it. And it just blows right off. It's fantastic. So wormflooring.com.
Well, I'm excited to have Ashley on with us. She's the director and head of research and development over at Smart Equine, formerly Smart Pack. But we're having her on for two reasons. One is to talk about a brand new podcast they're doing here on the Horse Radio Network. And two is to talk to her about what it's like to be the head of research and development and how a product goes from inception to packaging. How does all that happen with the testing that she has to do in the meantime, especially supplements and things like that? Ashley, thanks for doing this.
Hi, Glenn. Thanks so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
You have a co-host, too. We have to acknowledge
my
voice is bad today, but apparently hers is worse, right?
Yeah, Jenna's a little under the weather today with some laryngitis, so she's not able to join us. But hopefully, I'll be able to carry the team. So well,
tell her I was brave and came anyway.
So I'll let her know.
Tell her. She's great too. She's the director of digital marketing over at Smart Equine. So tell us about the podcast. Your first episode is out, right?
Yeah, our first episode is out. So the Horse Health Cast by Smart Equine. Our first episode, we're talking about the power of consistency, whether that's in horse care, horse nutrition, training, kind of just the nuts and bolts of why it's so important to provide your horse with a predictable routine. And as we go forward, we'll be sharing tidbits about health and wellness as it relates to nutritional deficiencies and how to know if your horse needs a supplement. You know, how to change supplementation based on seasons or the weather. So we've got a lot of really cool information coming for you. And we'd love you to join us on the 15th and 30th of every month.
And of course, nobody knows health stuff better than SmartPack/SmartEquine, right? I mean, you guys have been doing this for a long time.
A very long time, yeah.
And you are the director of and head of research. And oh, before I go on, the podcast is available on any podcast player. It's Horse Health Cast by Smart Equine. And I love the fact that you're doing kind of the Meet the Pack segment in there too, because you guys are known for your customer service. That is one of the things that's been consistent for 20 years. And we're going to meet some of those people.
Yeah, I love that too. You know, we've had that tagline, we get you because we are you. And, you know, I've been here for about 4 years, and it is very interesting that every person you meet here in some capacity, you know, has something outside of their 9-to-5 to do with horses. Some of them are barn managers. Some of them are equine veterinarians. Some of them are trainers. We have some FEI level dressage riders. So it is really nice to be able to meet some of the folks behind the scenes that are bringing Smart Packs to life.
And I know there used to be an education requirement to even be a customer service person, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. So most of our customer service representatives on our care team do have background in whether it's, you know, equine nutrition or animal husbandry, animal science. You know, most of them come to the company with a really nice deep background on that.
Now, you have an M period S period after your name. What's that mean?
That I have a master's in science in equine exercise, phys, and nutrition.
Jamie, yeah. We were trying to guess.
Yes. So I studied at Michigan State University under the brilliant mind of Dr. Brian Nielsen. And most of my research was done in standard road race horsing and the various supplementation and exercise.
Well, that's interesting.
Exercise physiology. Yeah, it was very interesting. It was some time ago, but I loved it. And obviously it propelled me into my role now with Smart Equine, which I always call like my Cinderella slipper. You know, you tell your parents, I'm going to college to study equine exercise physiology and work with standard bred race horses. And they're like, man, what are you going to do with that?
Yeah.
So here we are.
Standard bred race horse racing is so popular right now. It's, you know,
Exactly. So yeah, you know, a decade or so later, I am really excited to be able to put all that what used to feel like useless knowledge to good use here.
The one thing I noticed about episode one, because I produced that episode, is, and I'm going to give you a compliment here, so just blush and take it. So Ashley is great. You know, we've had a lot of vets on, and you know, a lot of vets, probably 1,000 over the years. And some of them are really good at talking in a level that we can understand. And then others, we at the end of the interview, Jamie and I go, I really didn't understand any of that. So one of the things I noticed, one of the things I noticed about Ashley in episode one was when she she was all bubbly and fun and everything, talking about her barn and all that stuff. And then she got into the science stuff and I thought, oh, here we go. But no, I did understand it. It was crazy. You actually can speak to regular people.
Oh, well, I try my best. I mean, I think it's because I have to speak to regular people all the time. You know, I have a boarding barn. I have 60 clients that I have to talk to on a daily basis and communicate. You know, I'm a competitor myself. So I think just because I'm integrated into the industry as a consumer and not just a professional, you know, has allowed me to kind of hone in on my layman speak a little bit.
Well, we're going to get into how the hell you have time for all of that at the end. But yeah. Now I want to ask you about research and development.
Sure.
Kind of give us the Reader's Digest version. Let's talk supplement now, okay?
Sure.
So somebody comes up with the idea that we need a new joint supplement. And it's got to do it has to fall under this criteria, right? Mm-hmm. What happens then? They obviously dump it on your lap and go, here, make this. So what happens then?
Yeah. So, I mean, it all starts with an idea, right? We work on like a stage gate process. So idea, ideation, concept, 0.0. Someone comes up with the idea. Maybe it is a superior of mine who has seen success in adjacent companies or adjacent markets. Maybe I wake up one morning and I had a dream and I'm going to go chase this wild pipe dream somewhere. Whatever the case may be, an idea falls into our lap or we discover something interesting. The first thing that I always want to do is make sure that this idea has legs. It's feasible. It's rational. We believe that there's market need for it. You know, there's no reason to produce something that Ashley wants to sell if the customer doesn't want to buy it. So we have to make sure that there's actual need in the market, that there are horses that could use this product. And if there is,
by polling?
Well, we do market research with various agencies. We can use historical data on products that have been alive in the smart equine ecosystem for some time, just to see general demand and trends within the category. So we know that joint is a pretty tried and true category. That's something that's probably never going to go away. Horses have joints, and by having joints, you know that they will deteriorate. That's just a part of life.
Whether it's horses
or humans. Right. So, you know, the first thing to do is just to make sure that there is demand, that there's a reason to go after this product. And if we can solidify that and we can all stack hands on, you know, we do believe that there is some purpose with this idea, we can move forward. And that's where I start to really geek out and get excited, because I don't think that it's an oversaturated market as it is, right? There's so many products out there that you can choose from. It's easy to get lost in a sea of choices. So I want to make sure that if I'm going to bring something to market, there's a darn good reason. And the first thing that I do is I go on to PubMed. I log into my PubMed and I just start diving through literature. I'm trying to find new compounds. I'm trying to find new applications for old compounds. You know, sometimes you do want to bring something brand new to market, but I also think that there's some validity in, you know, you don't need to discover something new. You need to make what exists better. So there's a lot of options there. But when it comes to choosing and selecting ingredients, I am very research focused. I came from academia. Like I said, you know, I did my research up at Michigan State. And so I like to make sure that anything that I'm bringing to market is something I would feed my own horses.
What percentage? So let's say you're repurposing an old product and you want to make it better. Mm-hmm. Do you have a criteria for what percentage has to change? In other words, I have to add 1, 2, 3 things. 25% of this has to be better before we go ahead. Is there a formula there?
I mean, I think it depends on why you're changing it. You know, some things, ingredients become prohibited. You know, the USEF changes their stance on an ingredient. We have to change a formulation to avoid that ingredient. Sometimes it just needs a facelift because palatability, horses aren't eating it. If we're talking about efficacy and I'm giving a product a facelift or a renovation to target better efficacy, then I'd like it to be more efficacious, right? So I don't care if I'm changing one ingredient or 12. I want to make sure that product is working better. And frankly, I do find that oftentimes the products with the shorter ingredient lists and higher concentrations of each ingredient are the heavy hitters. If I have a product that only has 3 ingredients, example, our new product, Smart Perform Advanced Liquid, only has a handful of ingredients. You know, ingredient list length is not the goal there. It's making sure that the inclusion rates of each ingredient are at efficacious levels. If I'm changing a product, I want to make sure that it's better. I want it to work better. I want there to be more supporting research on any ingredient that I choose to alter. And hopefully, right, the reason that we're doing that is to bring a better product to market for the end user.
And do you test it then? How do you test it?
Yeah, oftentimes we do. So we have some of our crown jewel products like our Smart Gut Ultra and our Smart Stride Ultra. We work with university partnerships to test those products to make sure that the claims that we're bringing to life are backed by good research.
And that can take a period. So from time of idea to packaging, mm-hmm. how long can that be?
It can be very long. It can be very short. A good example of something that I would call like a turn and burn, if we're bringing a new flavor of cookie to market, right? It's a tried and true product. We know that the horses love it. And we just want to, instead of offering banana smoothie, we now want to bring watermelon sorbet. Those can happen relatively quickly. We can bring those products to life within a few months. But then you're talking about category disruptors, you know, big products that are going to hopefully change the category or even the industry. Those products take a really long time. I mean, we want to make sure that we're properly researching the ingredients, ensuring that, and it's also not just the research behind the ingredient, but also the supply chain of that ingredient. You know, we saw a huge disruption in supply chain over the last few years with the tariffs, with some changes. You know, there was one instance where like a couple tankers were stuck out in the Indian Ocean for like 3 months. So, you know, you have to really think through every tiny nuance of what it's going to take to bring that market or product to market and keep it. Right? Keep it on the market. So sometimes products can take years and years to properly research. So it really is a huge gamut of time. And it really depends on if you want to bring something new and novel and exciting to market, or if it's going to be something more of like a line extension or a flavor change.
Okay. One more question before we get to your personal stuff. Of course. How nervous are you for 6 months to a year watching the sales figures after you spend all that time? Are you like nervous as hell watching the sales figures?
You know, of course you are. I mean, I personally, and I can't say every product that I launch is one that I feed, because there are just some things that my horses, I only have 4 horses. There are just some things they won't need, right? But for the most part, I want to make sure that every product I bring to market is something I'd feed my own horses. And oftentimes I do. So I don't get super nervous because I do believe in the products, but I also think that R&D there's always a gamble. You know, not every product that you launch is going to be that superstar, but I do feel that every product that we've launched had a purpose, filled a niche, and there was at least one horse out there that needed it. And if I could bring something to that one horse, I feel like my job was well done.
I heard that you, speaking of all the science, you also get your hands a little dirty. And so tell us about your your barn and your farm.
Yeah. Yeah. So a 9 to 5 with horses wasn't enough. so I joke that I do my 9 to 5 at Smart Equine, and then my 5 to 9 is Oakwood. So my family, this is our second generation. My parents started the farm in 1996. And we are we used to call ourselves boarding and breeding. We haven't done too much breeding as of late. But yeah, we are about 150 acre farm in Illinois. We have about between 50 and 60 horses at any given time. And wow. We're kind of like, yeah,
it's boarded horses.
Yeah, we have my husband and I have 4, and we just added 2 new ones to the pack this weekend. Actually, we bought my daughter some ponies, but yeah, we have 4, and then the rest are all boarded. So we're kind of a disciplined, non-specific farm. We offer like boutique boarding, full service style, and it's pretty amazing. We love being here. We have an incredible staff and a full-time barn manager. Obviously, I could never do this on my own and work full time at Smart Equine. So we have a wonderful staff that keeps the wheels turning all day long. And yeah, it's been a dream to live here. My husband and I actually moved to Florida for a job about 10 years ago, and we were there for all of 2 years. We're like, nah, we got to get home. We got to get back to the farm. So it's definitely a magnetic place.
Well, if you're up in Illinois, mm-hmm. I'm assuming you have, being that it's a boutique boarding stable, which, by the way, I love that name, and I'm going to start calling my place that.
Yeah.
But 60 horses, is that still boutique?
You know, the reason I say boutique, Glenn, is more so because, like, I simply do not believe that there is a cookie cutter way to handle horses. You know,
no,
I think
it makes sense.
Yeah, every horse needs something new. Mm-hmm.
I have two horses boarded here right now, and I'm like, they came with very specific instructions. Yes. And mine are like, they're out in the field and they can leave whenever. Totally. And now I'm like, oh my God, like I have a schedule now. Like this is crazy. Yeah. And I can't imagine doing that with 60 horses.
Yeah. Good our God. Guys are incredible. I mean, our staff is just unbelievable. And the care that they provide to these horses. I mean, they you get to know them like they're your own horse. Right. And then we say boutique, it's like, you know, so-and-so needs filtered water and
it's customized.
It's customized. This one needs fly boots and this one doesn't. And this one gets a blanket change at 10 a.m. And so, you know, we just try to modify. I want the agency to live with the owner. I want the owner, even though the horse lives with me, I want the owner to feel like they have complete agency over that horse's care. And so that's what we strive to provide.
So I'm assuming what I was going to say earlier is you're in Illinois. You must have a covered arena. Is that true?
Yes, we have a heated indoor.
Oh,
the whole barn is heated, actually.
Jamie hates you now.
It's incredible.
No wonder you want to leave Florida and go back up there.
Yeah, it's really nice. We heat it. You know, we joke that the heating is for the people, right? The horses don't mind. But yeah, we have the whole barn is heated. We have a heated indoor, and then we have like a heated indoor wash rack too. So it's pretty cozy
in
there in the winter.
You just pissed off 90% of the listeners right now.
Yeah. We're very fortunate, and it keeps everybody moving through the winter. And, you know, we're able to stay more consistent with our routines year round since we have that.
Wow, that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Well, that's great. I'm so jealous. I'm moving to Illinois.
Hey, you're welcome anytime.
What's
open,
the name
open
of the
door
barn?
Policy. It's called Oakwood Farms.
And is you have a webpage?
Yes, we do. Yeah, oakwoodfarmsequestrian.com.
Okay, that's great. I mean, I see why you moved out of Florida. I get that.
So, it's
especially
incredible.
Right now.
Yeah, it's my little slice of heaven. And I'm so excited that my daughter gets to grow up here too.
And thanks to COVID, you guys all get to work remote. One of SmartPak's early rules was you had to work in the building in Plymouth, Massachusetts.
Yes. Yeah. How fortunate am I? Because, you know, not having ever lived in the Northeast, I don't know that I ever would have crossed paths with SmartPak had it not been for remote work. So,
well, they got lucky to get you.
I feel the same way. I got lucky with them.
All right. Very good. Well, thank you so much for joining us. A couple of things here. Search for Horse Healthcast on your podcast player. It should be on all of them right now. And we're happy to have them part of the Horse Radio Network. Ashley is now producing your show, and you couldn't be in better hands than Ashley. Aww. So, and the next episode, they come out the 15th and 30th, right?
Yes.
So the next episode will be out the end of this week. And hopefully your co-host will have her voice and you guys will actually do
Yes, I pray she will.
Very good. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it, Ashley.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me, Glenn. I appreciate it too.
Ever wondered if your saddle is causing your horse discomfort? You're not alone. Many riders face this challenge, unsure of how to prevent their horse from suffering due to an ill-fitting saddle. Saddle Fit for Life is here to help. For over 35 years, they've been the leader in evidence-based saddle fit education, working with over 300,000 horses from Olympic athletes to everyday trail horses. And now they're offering you a 7-day free trial of their internationally recognized Saddle Fit Education Program. Experience firsthand how understanding Saddle Fit can transform your horse's comfort and performance. And we've got a link in the show notes to start your 7-day free trial with Saddle Fit, the number 4 life today.
All right, what happened to Butters?
Oh, poor little Butters.
Now, Butters, we'll remind everybody, is her new little Palomino baby that she got. So,
and
four
and a half months. So he's the sweetest little angel ever. And he's oddly quiet. Like you can do anything to him. He's learning to lead. That's the only thing he's not great at yet. But again, he's like tiny, and I've had to just leave him alone because he had the hernia surgery. So I'm not messing with him too much, but he needs to get his feet trimmed. So over the weekend, I had him in the barn. He comes into the barn every day for a couple hours while it's the hottest. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to start messing with his feet. And this was on Thursday. And so I start messing with his feet and I go to pick it up, and I'm picking up the front and then the other front. And then I go to pick up a back foot. And I'm like, huh, this fetlock on the right hind is bigger than the fetlock on the left hind. And I noticed that when he stands, he kind of stands a little parked out, which is kind of weird.
And he's not a Hackney, so that's, yeah.
But he did have hernia surgery and it's still scabbing over. And so maybe it's like that, but I'm like, this felt like, and then I go to pick it up and I'm like, okay, well, there's no heat. There's no swelling. It's just, he's got a bigger fetlock. So I took some videos of him walking in the barn aisle. Ginger led him, and I led him, and Ginger videoed, and poor girl, I'm always like, can you come out here, please, and help? So she takes a video while I'm leading him, and I send the videos and the pictures to Royal Vista, where I adopted him from. And they're like, they send it to one of the vets, and she says, well, it looks like, you know, potentially he's starting epiphysitis, but he's a little young for it. So epiphysitis, it's like when it's almost like think of it as like gout for baby horses. Oh, like he's getting too much good stuff. So I was, they were like, you know, back off the things. I'm like, okay, well, I'm gonna get a second opinion. So I send the videos to my vet. So they're like, epiphysitis, no big deal. She looks at it and she's like, that's really no big deal. It's not concerning me at all. And then I send it to the third vet. The third vet is like, oh my God, he's dying. It's the worst thing ever. You got to tap the joint. You got to do this. You got to have this surgery. You got to do this. Blah, 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 blah. You got to get x-rays and ultrasounds and all this. And the third vet's freaking out. Well, that's all I needed was like a little bit of a green light. Never tell Jamie that. Two vets are like, it's fine.
You're not going to go for like 2 out of 3 being right.
One vet, my vet that sees me all the time, is like, and she knows how I freak out about stuff. And she's like, you know what? You might maybe give him a little bit of like oral Banamine, but I'm not freaking out. She's like, he's fine. I'm not freaking out. And I'm like, cool. The first one was like, yeah, it might be some of this. Like, it's fine. The third vet has me jumping off
die.
The freaking
yeah,
cliff.
Tomorrow.
He's dying. And I can't believe I can't get him to the bar, to the vet at 8 p.m. at night. Okay. By the time I get in touch with the third vet. So I call the vet clinic and I make an appointment. I'm like, I need an appointment because my baby is apparently dying and I don't know. And you guys know that when I take a horse to the clinic, I immediately assume it's going to die. Like I just like, that's how my brain has to work. If I take, and I don't think I'm the only one, maybe I am the only one who gets a little crazy like this, but I'm like, if I need this extent of medical intervention, probably they're going to take an x-ray of the joint. It's going to be a whole hot mess and like, he's never going to be sound and everything is terrible. Whatever. So they give me a 9 a.m. appointment. So I load him up in the trailer and I take him to the clinic, and oh my God, he's so good. Like I have the step up, but I backed it up to my arena. So there's like just like a 1-inch step up, and he like jumps it like he's jumping the hedge at, you know, badminton.
Gonna be an inventor.
and he jumps it. And of course I have Carl. Groot is his new buddy, but Groot doesn't travel very well. So I gave him Carl. And I tied Carl up in the front.
Isn't Carl the one we had the incident with?
Yes. Yes, it is. But I'm like, we're going to the vet. And so we unload
First,
Carl.
I thought he was going to the vet because he had some kind of venereal disease. But
No. Don't be gross, Joe, little baby. So I take him to the vet. He unloads. We walk Carl and Butters into the building. And he's like, okay. And he goes in there. And without sedation, this baby horse steps up on a 4x4 block, stands on it, and has x-rays taken from every angle with them standing underneath his belly x-raying him. This is a 5-month-old foal, you guys. It's unbelievable. So he stands and he's perfect. Carl's just tied up in there. He's like, I don't care. And he's great. And so the vet goes through the x-rays and he looks at the horse, and they do like some palpation and palpate his, move his stifle and his hock and palpate his SI joint and all this. And I'm like, see how he stands like that? But when he stands up underneath himself, he's almost kind of on his tippy toes, and it just doesn't look right to me. And the vet looks at all, does all the exam and all the x-rays and pulls me over, and I'm like, okay. And he was like, all right, he's fine.
Now, was this the third vet that gave you the death warning, or was this the other one?
Well, now I've gone to a fourth one.
Oh, okay.
Because I consulted with three, and then I went to the hospital, and the fourth one is like, he's fine. Like, and I was like, no. Like, but what about his joints? And this is bigger. He was like,
most people accept that first thing. Not Jamie. She's like,
wait, what
it
do
can't
you mean
be fine. That's not my luck.
I was like, what do you mean he's fine? Like, they just did all these x-rays. And I was like, but what about epiphysitis? And they were like, no, he didn't have that. And I was like, but what about like the joint? And he was like, and I was like, it is weird because there's no heat or no swelling, but the joint's bigger. And like, I don't know. And he was like, he's fine. Like, I mean, he needs his feet trimmed. And I'm like, I know, that's what I was practicing. So I drove my baby and Carl home. Load Carl up, baby loads.
And then
just
they
fine
took a picture of Jamie
up
on the way out, posted her on the wall, and said, yeah, alert,
they
warning.
Know me. Oh, they know me. they know me.
Do you think they have pictures on the wall in the back, you think?
They know me. They're familiar with me. And this vet in particular was familiar with me from the last time I was there. So, yeah. So I load them up and I get them home. And oh my gosh, Butters was so good. And Carl was like the best friend. And he loads right in the trailer. And then Butters jumps in behind him. And so I've got Butters loose. And Carl, Craigslist Carl, is tied up in the trailer. And Butters is loose. And we drive, you know, it's like maybe 40 minutes home. And I drive 40 minutes home and I pull in, I open the door, and freaking Butters is nursing again. God!
And there comes the venereal disease.
And now they've been separated again. So, long story short, I made a sizable donation to my local veterinary clinic for absolutely no reason. I don't know, though. And that third vet did call me back to find out what was going on. And he's like, what? They did an ultrasound? Like, all these things. So I'm now he's kind of got me freaked out again. He's like, you need to put a pressure bandage on him. I'm going to
stop
for a week. And I was like, you know what?
I
should do that.
Stop. 3 out of 4 said it's no problem. Go with the 3 out of 4. Don't go with the 1. It's like,
shouldn't I just put a pressure
20%
bandage
of people don't like this show. We're not going with them. We're going to the 80%, okay?
I'm like, just take my money. Take my money and tell me what's wrong.
Jamie is well known in the world for 2 things. One is this show. She has tens of thousands of listeners across the world. Second is veterinary community. Thousands of vets know Jamie.
I have a Rolodex of things I'm going to send these videos to, and you're going to answer my phone call, and you're going to talk to me, and you're going to listen to these videos.
Every warning, I've seen a lot of posts recently about things you shouldn't do with vets, and they list like 20 things. You violate most of them, actually.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I'll give you money. I'm not asking for anything for free. Take my money and
well, that is true. That's what makes you different than most.
I don't want free advice.
There's a reason Jamie keeps doing this show after 15 years. This is her vet money. So this is nothing else but her vet money.
This is absolutely my vet bill money. But again,
this is what keeps
fine.
Chad off her back.
I don't believe it. I'm not buying it, Glenn. I'm not buying it. Something's wrong with this baby. I gotta love him more. I need to love him
more. He's gonna grow in different ways and different. One side will grow and the other side will catch up. It's fine.
Yeah, one vet was like, he's too young for epiphysitis, and the other vet was like, he's too old to have joint issues, but like clearly he has it, and so
okay,
you
need to
get.
That vet. He's number 4 out of the 5. Now that we 6 by the time you're done. Can we just talk about the next thing? The cutest pic ever. I'm going to post. It really is. I'm going to post it in the show notes. To describe this picture because it's absolutely the cutest picture ever.
Well, I mean, you can't plan stuff like this, but when I got home yesterday, this is really fun. So did you know in Oklahoma, back up, in Oklahoma City, there is a, like, you know how in San Antonio, there's like the cattle drive and the stockyards, and it's like real famous?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they have one in Oklahoma City, and they have a stockyards in Oklahoma City. So I'm like, I need to go to there. And there's a bunch of like Western tack shops. And you guys know how I love, like, I'm coming into this new, like, I want boots and hats and all the Western things because I'm going to be a cowgirl in a minute, you know? So I'm like, I want to go shopping. So Ginger, we need to go. We need to go to the stockyards. So we get in the car. It's 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning, we get and we drive the hour to the stockyards, and it's cool. There's like people loading cattle because there's like a cattle auction, and no soul because I'm vegetarian. I'm not participating in that, but it was just cool to see cowboys at work. They were like cutting cows and doing all this stuff at the stockyards. There's all these tack shops, and there's a place called Western Wear Outlet. And I'm like, oh my God, we're going to that one. So we drive up to the Western Wear Outlet. Closed on Sundays.
So I was going to say they're probably closed on Sundays.
There's two other tack shops, Glenn. We drive up to each one. Closed on Sunday. Like, damn it. Well, we just drove an hour to look around at a place that we might get to go to someday. So we drive home. So I'm like, what are we going to do on the way home? I mean, obviously, we're going to go to Costco and we're going to go to Tractor Supply. So we've been
on a Sunday afternoon must be a
oh
nightmare.
My God. That's the craziest thing I've ever done. I'm never doing that again. So we went to Tractor Supply and Costco and come home. And so then get home and Ginger's with me. And I walk out and I see Butters sleeping in the field.
He's laying down.
He's flat out, like full on sunbathing.
He had a rough day. Yeah.
I know, he's exhausted. So he's sleeping. So I see him out there and I start calling all the horses in, and all the horses come cantering up because it's time to come in because it's hot out, and Butters won't get up. He's like, won't get up. And of course, you know, like I said, oh my God, he's going to die. So I walk out there and he's just sleeping like super hard. And I was like, oh, I want to snuggle with him. So I sit down next to him, and then I sit down behind him. And then I'm like, I wonder if he'll put his head on my lap. So I like shimmy underneath him and put his head down on my lap. And he's just like, I mean, he's snoring. It's fantastic. And so Ginger goes to take a picture, and Homer comes walking up out from behind. And he's like, look at this sleeping horse, and Mom's on the ground. I need to be involved in that. So it was just a little magical moment of a sleeping horse laying on my lap, and my basset hound comes over to snuggle, and it was really cute.
A
picture.
That was the best picture of you ever. Right? You need to get that one blown up and hung in the hallway.
Aw, thanks,
you do.
Bud.
That's a really good picture. I showed that one to Jennifer and said, look at this.
Oh, yeah, because he's just the quietest baby horse ever, and obviously something's wrong. And you know what, though? You know what happens when you take a horse to the vet and you're expecting the worst? Is it shows you just how much you love that animal. You know what I mean? Like if faced with the losing it or throwing money into a, you know, fire pit, I'm going to throw money into the fire pit to try to save this little baby that I get kind of, like a little bit, I kind of have to have a business mentality when you have all these horses. You guys know how hyper emotional
well,
I am.
Well, and to so be I, fair, you've had a, lost some horses over the years. So
yeah,
I get that mentality because I go in with it the same way. Expect the worst. And then if it goes better, anything is better, you're happy. So
yes, thank you. Yeah. Because, losing Farrell was like it was the worst. And I was like, I had all my hopes and dreams on this horse, you know, and then to lose him. And then so going at it like this, this is my question of the day.
But then you and I kind of do that with life, actually. We go out expecting the worst, and then anything that's better, we're happy.
So, does that make us like pessimists?
We're both the same way. We're different in a lot of ways that way. We're a lot alike.
I called my
friend
Marissa.
It's amazing the show's still going after 15 years. Actually.
I know. Well, because I think we're very happy to address our mental disorders on this podcast.
We both save a ton of money.
I mean, counseling. I really need therapy, but here I am talking to you.
This is our excuse for not doing therapy right here.
The question of the day is, if you take your horse to the vet, do you immediately think he's going to die or do you think we're going
to
make this okay?
You need to post that one in the auditor room. We'll post that. That'll be a question of the day in the auditor room.
I called Larissa because this happened to her. She took her thoroughbred mare into the vet clinic like 3 months ago, and this mare's been lame for like 2 weeks, and she's like, I've done everything. I can't figure it out. She takes her into the clinic. They do all this work on her, and she's like, she's going to die. I mean, she's going to die. Obviously, she has broken cough. She had a stone bruise.
There you go. It's usually that or an abscess, isn't it?
They're like, put a shoe on her. She'll be fine.
It's usually that or an abscess. Those two right there.
But is it just me? Maybe I guess it's you too.
We're both mentally disabled. We're going to ask people. That. We'll do a poll. I'll put up a poll and we'll give you the results on Wednesday of what the poll says.
Okay. I'm hyper emotional.
This will either give you validation or it's going to make you feel worse about yourself. It's one of the two.
Again, I explain to my husband all the time, if you think it's hard to be around me, you should try being me. It's like way harder.
And on that note, we're going to give you some happy news on Wednesday about your horse Maverick. We'll talk about that on Wednesday.
We need to
wrap the show. I will give my review of that. What was that movie called again? Princess Bride. I will do that on Friday. Apparently, it's free at Disney is the one place it's free. For those that were asking, and there were a bunch asking in the auto room this morning, Prime charges you $14 for it, but it's free on Disney Plus. So if you have that, you can watch it there.
Think about how much it would cost you to go to the movies, and $14
is nothing. It's a movie from 1987. It would cost you nothing.
Classic.
I didn't realize it was that old, by the way. I graduated high school in 80. I can't believe this movie's that old. So we're going to talk about that. I didn't know that... I lost it.
Billy Crystal.
Yes, I didn't know he was. How did you? You know me too well. I didn't know he was in that movie.
Yes, it's a great movie, Glenn.
Okay,
I
have never unliked a movie that Billy Crystal was in. So
Andre the Giant.
Well, okay,
come
that was pretty bad. That was pretty bad. I didn't like that.
You didn't like what?
Andre the Giant.
You didn't like Andre the Giant?
No, I didn't like.
Who doesn't like Andre the Giant? What is wrong with you? That's it.
On that note, we're going to wrap the show.
Tomorrow
will be the brand new episode on riders and how to become a better rider. That's going to happen tomorrow. And then Jamie and I will be here on Wednesday and Friday.
Maybe. Jesus.
Send your weird news to weirdnews@horseradionetwork.com and your really bad ads to jennifer@horseradionetwork.com. That's it. My voice is done. Auditors, I apologize. But I have to do another show today and I don't have it in me to finish today. So thanks for understanding. I appreciate it.
All right. Bye. Spay neuter geld.